Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 102. Yes, this is the squeaky clean edition here at the Caffeination. A little bit later on, we're going to be getting into our first in a series of tech talk sections. We're going to be talking about how to clean up and out your PC, so hopefully you're going to enjoy that. But first off, the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network, so if you head on over there, you can see all the shows that we listen to and vice versa. So hopefully everybody out there is having a good day. It's been a pretty cool day around here at the Caffeination. Been rather stressful in work the last couple days, but you know what? It makes the day go by that much quicker. I'm kind of hoping the days slow down in the very near future. But still, it's been kind of cool. So hopefully everybody out there is having a good time, having a good week so far. Sometimes recording in the middle of the week gives you a really weird perspective on things. Because, I mean, Sunday night, you can do pretty much whatever you want. You can still round out and end up recording at roughly the same amount of time. There's no idea when I'm ever going to get to record on a Wednesday. So I started doing all the work for the show somewhere around like 7 o'clock and had to stop, take a little break to do other stuff around the house, help the boy out, help Jen out when she got home with all the groceries and stuff. So just sitting back down to record around 11 p.m. rather, and hopefully this will get done well before midnight. So the Caffeination is proud that we have a sponsor, and we are proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. These days, whether you're in business or you simply want to share something with family or friends, email and voicemail just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, an online meeting solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and your friends. GoToMeeting makes it easy to provide training and share information with coworkers, family, and friends. All you need is your PC, an internet connection, and a phone. You invite people to meet you online, your attendees see your computer screen on their monitors, and best of all, you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. But don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself, free for 45 days, no credit cards required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, the Try It Free button, and the promo code PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, again, we're really proud to have that sponsor there. It makes doing the show a whole bunch easier. Hopefully it's going to make the hosting bills when they come due in April that much easier to bear as well. So, like I said, we have a great episode for you. Now, I was originally going to make this nice and, nice and clean, shall we say, when it comes to how I was going to do. I was not going to talk about any of the news or stuff that's going on in the world. I was just going to rock out how to clean out your PC, and hopefully people would enjoy that. But it's like, you know what? There's a whole bunch of interesting stuff that's happening there. So we still have our tech tidbit section as per usual. There's a couple little caffeinated bits. We kind of removed the whole general information section just because I was saying the same stuff every time. So hopefully you'll find this way a little bit better. One thing we do have to say, there's not going to be any music on today's show other than little background stuff that's floating around, just because we wanted this to be as cut and dry as possible. Still going to babble a little bit, but still. One thing that we wanted to talk to you a little bit about from our last show, actually, we played the PodSafe Music Network artist DJ A-Kid and his song Black Beats. If you head on over to caffeination.com, which is, if you're listening to this podcast on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network or anywhere else you might have heard it, you can find this episode and all the other ones like it at www.caffeination.com. That's CAFFINATION.com. So, you can find over there, and you see there's a video link that the artist sent us, and it's pretty cool. Apparently, the song's kind of a detective story, like a cyber detective story. So he said that the video is from, like, the mid-90s, but still pretty cool. Still, it's interesting to see what amateur film and amateur music can do when it's done, you know, well. So I really liked the song, and I really wanted to pass it along to you, so which I did last time we had our little podcast here. But, just want to pass along the video. You should definitely check it out. It's a YouTube link, so everybody should be able to see it. All right, on to the tech tidbits section. Wanted to give you a little bit of an update on the Linux logs. Right now we have the perfect dual purpose workstation set up here. I have the Linux installation on my right hand side and the PC installation on my left. Everything's working swimmingly. Makes it a little bit cleaner, a little bit nicer when I'm trying to read things off the screen. I'm trying to organize show notes and stuff like that. If I'm not actually working on the PC that I'm recording on, because then there's a whole bunch of extra clicks and other strange things in the background. And so this just cleans it up a little bit. So hopefully you're going to hear a little bit of an improved quality. Probably not too much, but still, you know, we don't strive for perfection here at the Caffeination. We strive for listenability. So you know, that's working correctly. And I told you that I was going to be trying to install Linux on the my PowerBook, my Mac laptop from work, and that went interestingly. The easiest way to put it is I tried to copy all the data that was on the MacBook, or the PowerBook rather, off onto a separate hard drive, because I was actually having some problems with the hard drive. I wanted to give it a good once-over. I said, hey, this is a pretty good time to try installing Linux. So I you know, pulled everything off fine. Everything worked all right. Cut the hard drive in half, partitioned it, as it were. No problems whatsoever. Installed Linux. Again, no problem whatsoever, except for a little bit of a strange hang in the middle of the hardware detection. Computer rebooted, and everything worked fine. So then I went to drop the data that I had copied off the hard drive back onto the hard drive. Pardon me. And everything was just supposed to work fine. Everything was supposed to copy back on. It would work, and I would boot up, and I would have two completely separate installations of an operating system on the same machine. And it would be portable, and everything would work lovingly. Not so much. Copying the data back, it failed probably about four times. And the thing is, the way I was trying to copy it back, and I was trying to restore the disk image, as it were, It takes a long time to find out that it's not going to work. So I had to find some roundabout way, which I'm actually going to be writing up so that I know if I encounter problems similar to this in the future, that I'll be able to help it, you know, help other people out. Or and I'm going to be posting it on one of our web pages in work. Just, you know, hey, this is how this gets fixed. But still, that was more than minorly irritating. Now I had to do something called a bootloader. A bootloader is a program that boots up along with your computer and lets you choose between two different operating systems. So there's a little menu that now pops up, and that worked after probably about two tries. So I'm really surprised with how well everything's working right now. So when you boot, it says if you'd like to boot into Mac OS, press the space bar. Otherwise, it boots you into Linux. So it's pretty cool. The only unfortunate thing about it so far is everything works on the PowerBook. I mean, even the things that people told me wouldn't, like the brightness on the screen. If you hold down the two buttons that usually change the brightness on the screen, that works. The F4, I believe it's F4 and F5 button on the PowerBook, control the volume. That works. The eject button on the keyboard works. I mean, this is stuff that I wasn't really expecting to do what it's doing. The only irritating thing has been the lack of wireless internet. There's a built-in airport card on the machine, and unfortunately, getting that to work has been somewhat irritating, shall we say. I've been doing a lot of research when I was at home. You're sitting there watching Barney or something like that, and it's a perfect time to surf the internet and see if you can find the answer to some of the questions that have been bothering you. I did a little bit of searching for it in work, didn't really find too much there. Have a couple things that I'm going to try, but they're really over my head. I mean, I'm fairly knowledgeable about a lot of the different OSs that are out there. I can get around in Linux all right. I wouldn't say that I'm a complete noob, so to speak, but, you know, by no means am I an expert. But these things are the way you do this is well above my level. So, if I actually get it working, I will have two completely perfect operating systems on the same machine. It's unbelievable so far. I don't know if anybody out there knows this, but Linux comes with a lot better games than any other operating system out there. Specifically, there's one that I've been playing, when the wife's watching her TV shows or whatever. It's called, West Sotnoth. It's like a little role-playing game where it's kind of like Warcraft, but you build units up and you send them out to attack different enemies. It's awesome. It's really cool. Nice graphics. The sounds leaves a little bit to be desired, but hey, it's free as long with the rest of the operating system, so it's pretty cool to play around with. I'll be putting some pictures up and some screen captures of some of the stuff, so you'll be able to see. It's kind of cool. I'm also going to be starting another little section in the site called the Linux Log to kind of let people know exactly how I did things if there's questions out there. So it's kind of fun. And the hardware itself was kind of aging, and it's kind of showing... It's years in some of the other things because it's not really keeping up with some of the graphically intensive Mac applications. So the only real problem with it is that Linux has, Linux mice have two buttons and the PowerBook has one. So if you're using Mac OS, you hold down the, I think it's the Option key and you hit the mouse button and it's like you're right clicking. That functionality does not exist in Linux, so you need to use an external mouse if you'd like to try and right click on something. So no help for that yet, but still, it's been kind of fun. Get you onto the rest of the little news items. Like I said, from here on out, whenever anything changes with that, because I've received a lot of good vibrations, good feedback on that. By the way, if you have any feedback, you can send it to caffeination@gmail.com. So I like to kind of share my trials and tribulations as I'm trying to adopt Linux as the third operating system that I'm moderately to fairly familiar with. So, all right. Well, first up from the little gadget stuff, the little cool roundup things that we found out there, there's a new product on the market. If you were to pick one kind of camera device which was deep-sixed, killed, pushed out to pasture by the advent and the popularization of digital cameras and low-cost and low-inexpensive photo printers, what would you think it would be? Well, it would probably be the Polaroid camera or the disposable camera. Two of the things that give you cheap and easy prints. Polaroid, because you could get the print right then. These two things have been kind of pushed out the door largely, and so the Polaroid has actually spun off a separate division that just deals with digital photography. So what they're trying to do is there's a new product that they just put out called Zink. Z-I-N-K. It's supposed to be used with your mobile phone, so it would be used over Bluetooth. After you take a picture, you send the picture to Zink, and it automatically prints out the photo without ink. I don't know how it does it, so it's really cool. I think there's some kind of special paper that you have to have loaded into it. So you might need like a cartridge of paper. Consumables are where all the money is at and all this stuff. But they're trying to keep this little device under $100. And it's the pictures are going to be small. They're not going to be they're not going to be huge. But I think this product's a winner. So I have two links up to it at caffeination.com. You can head on over there and check out two different look-sees at it. But I really like this idea. I think this really has legs. And if you could expand it beyond Bluetooth, and because I know there's not a lot of cameras out there, normal everyday cameras that actually have Bluetooth. So I could see, maybe if you had like a little USB cable, you plug it in and it sucks the pictures down, you get to choose which one it is. But it's going to need a little bit more functionality to have that work, or I don't know, a slot where you can put a card reader or something like that on. It has definite potential, and I could really see this being the kind of thing that you would take with you on vacation or something like that, or if you're going to a party. It just seems to be kind of fun. So again, you should head on over there and check it out. Now, if I was to ask you, what do you think the most fanatical fans in the realm of computers would be? Well, you'd probably answer Apple, and you'd probably be right about it. I'd always used to think that nobody's really a fan of Windows. Nobody's really a knock-down, drag-out, religious zealot when it comes to, Windows or Microsoft in general. There's people who are Xbox fans, but they like to distance themselves from the fact that Xbox is produced by Microsoft. Now, I'm not a Microsoft fan. I admire what they've done in certain aspects. In the same breaths, I'll also vilify them for other things they've done. But still, I had never thought there'd be somebody who would dress up like a Windows Vista package, but apparently in Japan, there you can find almost anything. So there's a link over there to Engadget, so You can see two guys running around what appears to be a mall, dressed up as Windows Vista packages, so it's kind of strange. I don't know if it's part of an advertising deal or if it's just two guys having fun. And then, not only that, but there's a link to another contest that they were running over at Gizmodo, which was Show Your Microsoft Tattoo. So there's a whole bunch of other people who, you know... strange things. There's a picture of a girl's abdomen with a Windows logo drawn on there, and she was saying that it's a tattoo. But there's also a picture of a gentleman who appears to actually have the brand new Windows logo and Microsoft tattooed onto his right shoulder. So I don't know how much of a fan of Microsoft you have to be, and you better be getting a discount if you're going to tattoo Microsoft into your arm. I mean, I've seen people making fun of the people who have the Asian character symbols on their arm because they really don't know what they mean, but still, that's taking your love of a software company just a little too far. Just to figure I'd throw that out there. And then there was a really good thing put out over by Gizmodo. It's a flow chart on how you're supposed to upgrade to Windows Vista. Now, it's a little snarky, but let me just kind of run down it. You really need to see it to get the full effect, but it's a series of questions that get answered, and then there's a yes and no alternative. So it says, do you have a computer? If you answer yes, it says, which OS are you running? If you answer no, it says, stop being a smartass. Which OS are you running? If you say Windows, then it asks you which version of Windows. If you say Linux, Apple, or other, it says, stop being a smartass. So then you go down to which version of Windows. It says XP or 2000. It says, do you think those guys in the ad where one is PC and the other is a Mac are funny? If he says, I don't know, it says, what? Are you retarded? If you get the idea. It's basically a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing going all the way through. And it basically says the only way you're actually going to end up upgrading to Vista right now is if you either enjoy pain, say you have some kind of sadomasochistic tendencies, or you have more money than you know what to do with. So, it says definitely if you're in the business environment, you're not going to be upgrading to Vista anytime soon. You usually have to wait till the first service pack to come out. It's kind of like buying a car in the first model year. It just doesn't usually happen too often. It's not a very good idea. So definitely head on over there and check that out. It's good for a chuckle or two, unless you're a guy who has Microsoft tattooed on your arm, but still. And the last little bit of tech tidbit stuff we threw up here before we head on over to our tech talk section, and hopefully you'll enjoy this, but is the apparently there's a law that's being introduced in the California Senate. Yes, those crazy Californians, and I know we have some listeners from over there. Oh, by the way, forgot to say this. If you head on over to caffeination.com, there's a new link up across the top near about the producer, recipes, and all that other stuff. It says, where in the world? Well, apparently, we found a whole bunch of cool little plugins for WordPress, and we now have the approximate location, so if you've downloaded the show or something like that in the last, I don't know, I think it's up to a week right now. But you can see your location on the map. It's a little glimpse into Google Earth, and you can see a green X on all the locations where people have been downloading the show. It's really cool, and I've been staring at it kind of randomly throughout the day or wherever else, just pick it up. Ooh, somebody downloaded us in Oslo. Or we have somebody from... I think we had one from Argentina and one from Brazil, so that's pretty cool. And we had a couple from Australia, so where it's apparently summer right now, which kind of freaks me out because it's pretty cold outside right now, but still. So it's really kind of cool to head on over there and check that out, so just give it a look-see. But apparently in California, there's a bill in the works to try and ban incandescent light bulbs. Basically because for every dollar's worth of energy you put into an incandescent light bulb, only 5 cents of that is turned into light. The rest of it is turned into heat. So they're very inefficient actual light bulbs, and fluorescents are pretty much the opposite. You get like 95% light and there's almost no heat that comes out of them. It's very good for heating my iguana's cage, very bad for energy efficiency. So they're trying to just outlaw them in general. It's 125 year old technology, so they're saying it's time to put it out to pasture. Of course, the I don't know if this is true, but the punchline here is, how many legislators does it take to change a light bulb act? Yeah, I read that and I said, you know what? Despite the somewhat tenuous grasp on the actual technology thing, I think this deserves a mention in the podcast just because they threw that up there. I thought that was funny, so just... yeah. And the only other thing I could think of is the ever-present symbol of ideas, you know, the little light bulb going off over somebody's head. Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do that in California. You're going to have a little fluorescent tube lighting up. So that pretty much brings us to the end of the tech tidbits as they were. Hopefully you found that interesting. A little bit of offbeat news, a little other things coming around. So now we're going to get on to another section that we like to... wait a second. What is this?
Why, you lazy crap for crap.
That was not it. All right. So we're going to do the tech talk section here. It's how to clean your PC. It's what you need for the job, so if you head on over to the Caffeination website, you're going to see a little link to a whole bunch of different applications. Now, you don't necessarily need all of them, but the ones in the first section, specifically SpyBot Search and Destroy, LavaSoft Adaware, the free edition, RegScrub XP, RegClean 4.1, Zone Alarm Firewall, and the free antivirus program ClamWin, you should probably pick up and download. So here's how I would suggest to go about cleaning out your PC. Whether you are somebody who might not be the most technologically minded, or you're somebody who has to help somebody out who might not be the most technologically minded, you basically... that if you have a computer that's running unbelievably slow, might have viruses on it, first thing that I've always done is you disconnect it from the network. If you have a wireless network, unplug the wireless adapter or turn it off. If you do not have another computer with an internet connection, what you need to do is you need to go out, download all this stuff, and burn it to a CD first. If you do have other computers that have internet connections, you want to go over your brother-in-law's house or whatever else like that, you head on over there, download all this stuff, come home, disconnect your computer from the network. So you pull the little Ethernet cord out, you do not dial into AOL, how many other ways can we say this? If you have one of those little modems that you got from your DSL service and you're the only computer in the house, unplug it. It's going to be all right. See, as soon as your computer is completely isolated, you want to give it a fresh restart. So you restart it all the way up. You log in as whatever user has the most privileges. So in Windows XP, that's usually the user that was created first. So this is kind of a... it's kind of a gray area. Some people like to boot into safe mode. I personally don't like to boot into safe mode right off the bat because you have trouble installing some applications. So this is the easiest way that I've found to do it. And what I want you to do is the first thing that we're going to do is you install SpyBot Search and Destroy. You just drag the file onto your desktop, double-click it, and it's going to install the application. Do whatever it says to be default, just say yes. It's pretty much going to be the theme with all this stuff. And then after you install it, it's going to pop up a little box, and it's going to ask you if you want to search for updates. Now, the other thing that you need to grab is you need to go onto the website. Again, before you actually get to this point, you want to go onto the website, and there's a second file there that has all the updates. So that way you don't have to do this. You're going to do this for SpyBot Search and Destroy, and you're also going to do it for ClamWin, the free antivirus program. So you're going to have them on the same CD. I should probably have cleaned this up a little bit, but still, just kind of go on here, and hopefully you'll be able to follow your way through it. This is kind of a guide. It's kind of a roadmap on how to get through this, so... hopefully you'll take these steps to heart and give it a shot. So say no thank you. After you get all the way through it, you're going to cancel out of the thing when it pops up. You're going to install the updates. That's you just drag the update file onto your desktop. You double click that and it says, would you like to update SpyBot Search and Destroy? You say, yes, please. It runs through. It says, finish. Would you like to start? Yes, you do. So, the first thing you do is you scan your machine. After it's finished scanning, you hit select all, and any of the little nasty bugs that it found, you can delete and get them out of there. Now, there's one bug that I want you to be wary of. If you see Cool Web Search, or CWS, anywhere in that list, you're going to need another program. We're going to talk about a little bit later on. You might also need professional help at this point, because Cool Web Search is one of the really irritating programs to get off your computer. It has a habit of installing itself in like 15 different directories. It does a whole bunch of higher-end, nastier things to your computer, so it makes itself very hard to get rid of. So after you're done running SpyBot Search and Destroy, you're going to install LavaSoft AdAware. Now just remember, make sure this is the free edition. I have the free edition directly linked up to over at the caffeination.com. And you're going to do the same thing. Now the cool thing about AdAware is that when you download it, it has the most recently updated definitions with it. 90% of the time. So you download that, you run it, you say, do you want to search for updates? No, my computer's not attached to the network. Again, you do a full system scan this time. There's a whole bunch of different scans you can do with AdAware. You can do the partial scan, you can do the smart scan. You can do the full scan. You can scan just the files that have changed. Obviously, since you've never run this program before, you're going to do the absolute full scan. If you have a relatively new computer, this is going to take a long time. It looks at every single file on your computer. This will tell you if you've been storing cookies. This will tell you if your children have been on sites that are not work safe. This will tell you if you or your spouse has been on sites that are not work safe. So it's kind of one of those things where it's good to generally clean up and out your machine with this kind of program. So again, after it's all done, there's going to be two lists this time. The first list that you're going to want to pull up is the critical errors. You're going to select all them and fix them. And the second list is they're the incidentals. So I forget exactly what they're called, and I can't find it on the program now because I don't want to start a scan while I'm recording. But it's fine to leave these programs on after we're done here. In fact, all the programs that I'm going to talk about, you need to leave on your computer after the fact. So that way, in a month or so, when you come back, you can just run the scans, run the updates, and you'll be perfectly fine. So after we're fine and we're through with both of those programs, you're going to restart your computer again. After you finished restarting your computer, this should give you a nice clean slate to work with. Anything that was running in the memory, running in the background, again, it's gonna be washed out, so you're not gonna have to worry about it. Now, the next thing you want to do is you want to install the program RegScrub XP. That's RegScrub space XP. There are no updates to this. This is a blindingly simple program, but not quite as simple as the next one we're going to be talking about. Let me just give you a little rundown on what the registry is. Every time your computer starts up, there's a file called the registry that it looks through. It tells the computer how to be a computer. So whenever you double-click on an MP3 and it opens up iTunes, that behavior is listed somewhere in the registry. The color of your taskbar at the bottom, every little bit of information that your computer holds, every little task that it's supposed to be accomplishing, when you start up your computer, is located in the registry. So everything from the amount of fonts that you have and what they're supposed to be called to even the smallest detail, like how many users are on your machine, it's all located there. Now, the thing is, when most programs install themselves, they say, okay, yes, all PDFs are supposed to be opened by Acrobat PDF Reader. That's perfectly fine as long as you have Acrobat PDF Reader on your machine. The fun thing about a lot of the programs that are out there is when you go to uninstall them, they don't actually uninstall everything. They're not very good citizens. In Boy Scouts, they would not be leaving the campground like they found it. Now, they take the big stuff, but they leave little stuff everywhere, little droppings. So they're not very good house guests, and they tend to leave a lot of files around in the registry, a lot of entries that don't need to be there. Now, the bigger your registry is, the longer it's going to take to start your computer. But the registry is one of those files that if you mess it up, your computer's just not going to start. So you're better off, especially if you don't know how to actually edit the registry, you're better off just letting these programs handle it, because they're not going to brick or pooch your computer, so to speak. So RegScrub XP is one of the very clean, very concise programs that I've seen. They have a lot of programs out there, Registry Cleaner, Registry Mechanic, and some of them are good, some of them are bad, but some of them have a tendency to have extra stuff along with that program. It's kind of like if you were going to go home and you were going to make yourself, just a spaghetti meatball dinner. You don't necessarily want extra stuff in there. You don't want anchovies in there. You don't want whole basil leaves in there. I mean, some people do, some people don't. But you want the most plain vanilla applications to work on your computer to clean them up. You don't want other things hanging around when you're running these applications, because the more stuff that they try and cram into one program, typically the less effective it is at its primary task. And we'll see this a little bit later on, but still. Red Scrub XP, it says, find errors. There's a button somewhere on the screen. As soon as it's installed and loads up, find errors. It's relatively simple. It should take about 5 to 10 minutes to look through your computer. Now, it's going to have a list of, if you've had your computer around for a while, it's going to have a list of anywhere from 100 to, like, the most I've seen was 600 errors. Do not worry. This is fine. It has a habit of happening. If you install and uninstall programs and trials and demos fairly frequently. So you just click the button that says select all and then the button that says fix all. So you fix all the errors. That takes another 10 to 15 minutes. And there might be a couple times where it says can't delete this error or can't delete this entry. You need to add it to the list of exclusions. You don't really need to do anything. You just need to click OK and it keeps going on its merry way. That's one of the things I like about this program. It gives you a little bit of information, but if you don't need it, it does not penalize you for it. So after you're all done with this, then I want you to pull another program off your CD called RegClean 4.1. Now, there's a little bit of history that needs to go along with this program and a little bit of an explanation, one caveat for using it. RegClean 4.1 was originally made by Microsoft. It was made for Windows 98 and 95. So you're saying, okay, well, why would I use it on Windows XP? Because it still does what it was intended to do very nicely. It only deals with Microsoft's section of the registry, and it cleans out any errors and inconsistencies that might exist there. Typically, after you run RegClean, your computer boots a significant amount faster, and it's a very small, very simple program. There's two buttons you have to click through the entire cleaning and scanning process. So after you double-click this program, it's going to say, where would you like to extract it? Pick somewhere very simple, like C:/RegClean. After it says, okay, files extracted, close that program out, open up that directory you just sent it to. There's four files there. The first file says RegClean.exe. Double-click it. After you double-click it, it's going to pop up, say, loading identifiers, loading this, loading that. Hit search, or click the only button that doesn't say cancel there. After it goes through and scans your computer, it says errors found. Click fix errors. It'll exit itself. That's it. It's that simple. Now you're going to say, well, what happens if this computer or if this product made a mistake? What happens if it bricked my computer and the computer doesn't run correctly or something starts acting weird after the fact? The cool thing about RegClean, if you go into that directory that I told you to create, what it's going to do is it's going to create little undo files. Imagine that. So after you do this, it's going to have another little file in there. It's going to be a bright teal file. It says undo and then the date that you did it on. If you were to double-click that file, any errors that it found in that scan, it would put back in place. If that didn't fix it, then just keep going back. Work back from when you started noticing things going wrong. Now, usually about after a month or so, if everything's still working all right, I'll delete the undo files. But these things are very, very, very small, so they're not going to take up a whole lot of room on your computer. I just don't like a lot of clutter. After you do that, again, reboot your computer. Give yourself a clean slate to work with. Now, this is usually a good time to make sure that there's nothing else happening. So you might want to, after it boots up again, run AdAware again, just to make sure that everything has been cleaned out. Now, I know this might seem really redundant, but the reason that you do this is because some programs that are considered malware or bad software that installs without your knowledge has a tendency to resurrect itself. It has a tendency to come back when you really don't want it to. Now, this should also be the point in time where I say, if you have file sharing utilities on your computers, I mean like BearShare, Kazaa, LimeWire, any one of the Napster-like clones that popped up after the fact, you might want to, I would strongly recommend uninstalling these programs. There's plenty of ways to get different content, shall we say, online without using these programs, because these programs come with the added benefit of a lot of spyware, a lot of adware, enhanced risk for viruses on your computer. I mean, there's basically not one good thing about the networks that these programs are attached to. Now, the programs themselves are not usually inherently bad, so it's not like they come preloaded with tons of extra bad stuff. It's just the people who use the networks that these programs tie into have a habit of abusing the network. So that's the easiest way to say that. After you've uninstalled that, again, run reg scrub. Again, give you a nice clean install, reboot. Now, this is going to be the last time that you should have to really reboot and do a whole another installation or a whole another couple product installations. The first thing you want to do now is install Zone Alarm. Now, what Zone Alarm is it's a firewall. Now, if you have Windows XP Service Pack 2 installed, then you definitely already have a firewall there. But the Windows firewall, it's lacking, shall we say. Zone Alarm is a very, the free client here is a very, very concise and very, very good firewall, especially for the fact that it's free. Now, apparently Zone Alarm just got bought out, and I think it's for the second time, but I think it's the same free version of the software. You can always go over to SourceForge or Major Geeks or downloads.cnet.com and see if they have other links to the file. There will definitely be a link to the older version of Zone Alarm if this one isn't the correct one. But basically, you just, again, follow all the defaults. And what's going to happen now, I don't want to give you a pause, don't want to worry you, but every time that you start up a program, from now until about a week from now, it's going to start asking you, okay, you just started up Microsoft Word. Do you want this program to access the internet? You can say yes if you would like it to, no if you would not. Things like Microsoft Word, you might want it to be able to access the internet just because that's where Word gets its clip art. But if that doesn't bother you, then say no. Programs do not need to access the internet. The only ones that really need to access the internet are your email client, which is your Microsoft Outlook, Outlook Express, or Mozilla Thunderbird, or Eudora. There's like 15 different ones out there, but those are the main ones. But and then your browsers. Other than that, there's not a lot of programs that really need to talk to the network on a generally regular basis. I mean, yeah, instant messengers and stuff like that. But what this does is every time somebody tries to talk to your computer, the firewall blocks it. It says, yeah, I'm sorry, you don't want to come in here. I'm not going to let you in. And it keeps a log of all these things that try and do this. It keeps a log of all the programs that are trying to get out. So pretty much after about a week of constant use of your computer, it learns what you're doing. So it will not ask you twice on the same program. Sorry, if you don't want to. So it's a very good program. It's a very clean program to install, and hopefully you'll enjoy a safer computing experience after you install it. Periodically, Zone Alarm does need to be updated, so it'll say, hey, there's a new version available. Would you like to download it? You can say yes, no, remind me in 1, 5, 15, 30, or 60 days. It's not always the most convenient time, and it's usually pretty painless to update once it asks you to do it. And then you might need to restart after that. I'm not sure. I know this is like the fifth time you've had to restart. But if you want to do it, you want to do it right. Then the last program that I want you to install is your antivirus program. It's ClamWin. Now, I recommend uninstalling other antivirus programs before you do this, because typically speaking, antivirus programs do not play well together. So you really need to take this into account when you want to decide whether or not you want to try the free one. Now, there is a way that you can run ClamWin antivirus without having to worry about whether or not it's going to interfere with other antivirus programs on your computer. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, what I wanted to say here is that after you install ClamWin, you can reattach your computer to the network. So it's going to start throwing up a couple flags. Zone Alarm is probably going to ask you a couple questions. And if you haven't already updated the virus definitions for ClamWin, it'll say, do you want me to look for them? Say yes or no, depending on what you want to do. Again, do a full system scan and clean out anything that it finds. Usually, it has a pretty good track record of finding almost any kind of new virus that comes out. So here's the reason why we installed ClamWin last. You always want to install antivirus programs last because they have a tendency to lock down the computer in the state that you installed them. So they don't like when other things are trying to install. So usually if you're trying to install a system utility or something like that, you would want to stop the antivirus program before you install the system utility, then restart it again after it's done. So, other than that, there's a couple advanced toys that I just wanted to let people be aware of. One of our listeners and a guy I work with named Fabrice sent me a link to a Batman-like utility belt of a drive. So, this thing is awesome. You basically download it. It's a 32 meg image. You put it on a USB key. And after you put it on the USB key, you open it up, install it, follow all the little things, and it has a list of roughly, I don't know, 25 applications. Some of them, I don't even know what they do. But it has, like, patcher things. It can tell you the product key. It can tell you if you have rootkits on your system. So if you know what any of this stuff is, and I know what a good deal of it does, and you think it might be interesting, just threw it up there to kind of let people know that it's there. The other thing I wanted to kind of remind people about is the portable apps. It's basically applications that can live on a little portable drive. Now, you might not necessarily need things that live on a portable drive, but it has a lot of cool things. Like, there's a web editor, a full FTP client. There's a news reader, email reader, office suite. I mean, there's huge amounts of things. But the one that actually caught my eye was the fact that there's a portable edition of ClamWin. There's also a portable edition of ZZip, or I think that says 7-Zip. I can't actually see that. File archiver and compressor. So these are two things that you should probably throw on a USB key, just because if you're having a lot of problems with your computer, you can always go to another computer, update the definitions, then bring that antivirus program back over, start the computer up, and run it when that computer's disconnected from the network. So hopefully I haven't lost everybody here. Hopefully everybody's still with me here. And then the last application is probably the most complicated to use. It's called Hijack This. If you do not know what you're doing with a computer, I would heartily recommend not installing this application because it's very confusing. But if you do know what you're doing with a computer, if you do have a general idea what gets installed where and what programs should be running and what programs shouldn't be running, then you can install Hijack This. Hijack This will tell you absolutely every program that is running on your computer, absolutely every program that is set to launch when your computer starts. It'll tell you even the smallest bits of other programs that you weren't even sure were running in the background. Like, I have a Wacom tablet in work, and I installed Hijack This, and I knew that it had started up at least one application, but there was like four other applications directly associated with the Wacom tablet that I didn't know were there. So it's kind of interesting, but very revealing, because this is where you can tell and see if a cool web search is there. You can see a whole bunch of different applications which are really hard to remove. This is an easy way to get in there and get them out. So that's pretty much our tech talk for the day. I know that it's been a long episode. We only have two little bits of caffeinated news. So take one little breath and a sip of the coffee, which we have been highly caffeinated this evening. And I hope that you enjoyed our little tech talk. Hope you could cut through the babble, cut through the stumbling, and understand what we were trying to do. Basically, I wanted to give you a list of applications which I heartily recommend as very good and very succinct ways of cleaning up and out your computer. I wanted to give you kind of a rundown on how you use them without going into a whole lot of specifics, because first of all, this is an audio program. Nobody's really going to sit there and say, okay, so he said click on the blue button first and then the green button. So I kind of understand that if you're downloading podcasts and you listen to podcasts, chances are you're relatively good with a computer. You have a relative understanding of how programs get installed. So there's a certain level of understanding that I'm just going to assume from here on out. So I would heartily recommend all those programs. You can give them a try, see what you think of them. And like I said, the advanced toys are not for the faint of heart, but you should definitely give them a try if you're looking for something with a little bit more power, a little bit more muscle behind them. They're awesome to work with. I love the portable apps just because it's a real nice way of taking things like password lists and system inventories with you if you're working on a whole bunch of different computers. It's really nice to work with them like that. All right, our two caffeinated bits before I lose my voice and end up talking myself into the ground over here are Taste the Difference. Apparently, there was a taste test conducted in the Boston area, or Consumer Reports, rather, conducted this. I don't know where exactly they did it, but they had a team of people go out and taste black coffee. Now, first of all, I applaud them for this, because if you do not have a good cup of black coffee, you will not have a good cup of coffee with two sugars, coffee with cream, a non-fat mocha latte, anything else. If your base coffee is horrible, you're just not going to have good coffee after that. You can only do so much to it. So they sent taste testers out to McDonald's, Burger King, Starbucks, and Dunkin' Donuts. They didn't talk to the 7-Elevens or anything like that, as far as I can see. You'd be really surprised at the results. I mean, I'm not, because I actually happen to like McDonald's coffee, but McDonald's coffee won. Yes, they said they were decent and moderately strong with no flaws. And they were also one of the cheapest in there at $1.35 for a medium. I don't know where they're finding coffee that inexpensive, but $1.35 for a medium apparently. But Burger King had something which looked like coffee but tasted like hot water. Dunkin' Donuts was apparently panned the most. It was called weak and watery with no oomph. And Starbucks, everybody's favorite place to drink and conversate, said strong but burnt and bitter enough to make your eyes water instead of open. Now, this has been pretty much my criticism of Starbucks coffee from the get-go. I mean, I like the atmosphere. I like some of the stuff they do. I just don't think they have very good coffee. It's overpriced and frank at $1.65 for a medium, and frankly, it's not very good. It's usually roasted to, you know, roasted from here to kingdom come, and the darker the roast, usually the less confident the roaster is in the quality of the bean. So you can tell most Starbucks coffee comes out like pitch black motor oil. So they I don't know. And then there was another story we broke a little bit last year. Again, this is the last thing we're going to talk about here before we head on out with the caffeination. The story we rose, apparently Starbucks was crying and saying, you know, okay, there's rising costs all over the industry. We're having to pay more for things. There's the coffee itself is getting more expensive. So we're going to do an across-the-board price increase of 5 cents a cup. Nobody will notice it, which is true. Nobody really noticed it. It was kind of met with like a tepid response. People were like, all right. And everybody's just kind of used to people raising the prices on them. Well, apparently, you know, everything was so bad for Starbucks that they actually rose, their profits rose 18%. This is kind of, it irritated me a little bit. I was like, all right, if you had people buying your coffee, you weren't losing any money, and then you go and raise the price to account for what you say are increases in production cost and everything else. All right, you control the supply and demand there. I understand that, but it kind of seems like you're gouging your customers more than a little bit. I mean, I know it's 5 cents, but 5 cents over the amount of coffee that you sell during a day, it led a tidy profit to you. And the entire reason behind your price increase was the fact that you were making less money on the coffee. So apparently not so much anymore. And this kind of brings a almost a parallel to the oil industry in the United States. During the time of Hurricane Katrina, when they had all those massive hurricanes in the Gulf Coast, and they said, oh, we're losing billions and billions of dollars a day. We really need to raise the price on oil. And the price kept skyrocketing it, and it went from like, around here at least, it went from like $1.35 to $2.75 to $2.85, almost $3 in some areas. Now, you'd think that if you were losing billions and billions of dollars a day and you had to raise your prices just to break even, that you wouldn't have a record profit year. Well, the oil companies had a record-setting profit year, got a little bit of flack from it, but then again, hey, what are you going to do when you own half the government, right? But still, don't want to get too far into that, but it just seemed to be kind of the next thing. And it's really strange that parallel exists, that people, you know, cry wolf in those two industries, because next to oil, coffee is the most traded commodity on the planet. So I could definitely see how, where the, you know, those two titans of commerce would definitely crash when it came to statistics and things like that. So that's about it for today. Kind of a strange way to end the show. Kind of a strange show all around. I think this is actually going to be our first show to break the 50-minute mark. I apologize in advance for the people on slower connections. But hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Like I said, I wanted to give you a little bit of information, send you along your way with hopefully a better understanding of how to clean up and out your PC. Give you a little bit of fun information along the way as well. So just remember, if you'd like to send me an email, comments, suggestions, feedback, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to do, you can send it to caffeination@gmail.com. You can also go on over to our website, take a look, register for our mailing list and everything else. There's a link at the very top of the page that says register. You can click on that. That's at www.caffeination.com. Our MySpace friends account is over at myspace.com/caffeination, and our personal blog is over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.